This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 361, up 5. July corn, 368, up 5 and 3 quarters. September corn, 374 and a half, up 6 and a quarter. May soybeans, 963, down 12. July soybeans, 957, down a quarter. August soybeans, 950 and a quarter, no change. May wheat, 501 and 3 quarters, up 20 and 3 quarters. July wheat, 514 and a quarter, up 32 and 3 quarters. September wheat, 521, up 33. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended mostly higher on Thursday afternoon, with wheat's rally over rumors of lower Chinese wheat production and an increase in China's wheat usage, along with India's lower wheat production forecast. Corn also found support from higher wheat prices. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 5 to 6 cents higher at 345 to 363, while soybean bids were mostly steady at 934 to 952. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 to 6 cents stronger at 344 to 368, and soybean bids ended steady on Thursday at 942 to 964. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 6 cents at 352 to 378. Soybean bids ended mixed at 950 to 973. And wheat bids gained 32 to 33 cents at 420 to 475. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 1 to 3 higher at 980 to 985, with basis up 1 to 3 cents at 23 to 28 over July. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $305.20 to $322.20 per ton. That's down 20 cents, with basis steady ranging from 3 to 20 over July. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 6 cents higher at $3.68 to $3.85, with basis steady at option to 17 over July. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 5 to 6 cents stronger at 366 to 370, with basis steady to 1 cent lower at 2 under to 2 over July. Soybeans down 1 to 6 cents at 967 to 977, with basis also 1 to 6 cents lower at 10 to 20 over July. New crop wheat prices rallied 33 cents at 493 to 496, with basis steady ranging from 21 under to 18 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher at 389 to 391. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 1 to 2 cents with quotations at 998 to 999. Soft wheat rallied 32 to 33 cents at 514 to 515. And Milo ended the day 5 to 6 cents stronger at 418 to 434. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country grain dealer bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 344 up to 360. New crop soybean bids at 879 to 910. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 340 up to 357. New crop soybean bids at 901 to 917. And new crop corn bids in southern Illinois, those range from 345 up to 360. New crop soybean bids range from 891 to 911. And wheat bids for a June-July delivery in southern Illinois, they range from 478 up to 507. That completes our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 153.80, up $1.82. August live cattle, 152.07, up $1.42. October live cattle, 153.07, up $1.32. May feeder cattle, 219.25, up 50 cents. August feeder cattle, 218.95, up $1.32. September feeder cattle, 218.02, up $1.50. May lean hogs, 81.70, up 32 cents. June lean hogs, 83.95, down 82 cents. July lean hogs, 84.65, down 60 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 14th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 46 cents lower in the range of 69 to 82.43, with the weighted average carcass price of 79.38. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading a dollar higher for light sows and steady for the heavy sows, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 17 to 21, 4 to 5 weights 19 to 25, 5 to 6 weights 22 to 26, and 6 weights and up 23 to 28. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $50 to $56.50. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 9,238 head. And now for the report from the Schuyler Livestock Auction at Rushville. They had receipts of 451 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 158.25 to 165.25. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 137.75 to 140.25. Choice slaughter heifers were 159 to 162.75. Now moving over to the slaughter cows, premiums were bringing 140 to 147.75. Breakers, 110 to 119. Boners were 110 to 119, with some high dressing at 120.50. to 126. Leans were 104 to 107 with some high dressing at 111.15. They also had a pretty good run of feeder cattle, starting with the feeder steers, large ones and twos. Four weights were 275 to 309. Five weights were 252 to 283. And six weights were 240 to 259.50. Feeder heifers, large ones and twos, four weights, 250 to 260, five weights, 227 to 246, and six weights, 194 to 224. Now moving over to the opening report from Walnut. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 159.50 to 162. Choice slaughter Holsteins, 144 to 147.50. And choice slaughter heifers, 159.25 to 163.25. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 269 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, 84.37, and that was 97 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were 264.74. That was a 157 higher, with select carcasses at 251.31. That was 220 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000. That compared to 115,000 last week and 118,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 420,000. That compared to 424,000 last week and 413,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Last year, the organic industry saw record growth with more than $39 billion in retail sales in the United States. Due to this growth, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Agricultural Marketing Service is providing around $11.9 million in organic certification assistance through state ag departments to make organic certification more affordable. Funding is provided on a cost-share basis and distributed through the National Organic Certification Cost-Share Program and Agricultural Management Assistance Organic Certification Cost-Share Program. For more information, you can visit ams.usda.gov/NOP cost sharing. Now that the USDA has released its first official look at the balance sheet for new crop corn and soybeans, farmers are under the gun to make some marketing decisions. The easy ones, as Todd Gleason reports, are related to what's left to sell from last year.
This week, USDA estimated the average cash price farmers will receive for corn in the coming year to be 15 cents less than last year at $3.50 a bushel. It makes the decision to sell what's left from last year's crop pretty easy, thanks to University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
I think it's time to give it up and meter it out and let it go.
Pretty much the same advice goes for old crop soybean sales.
There's no opportunity at this juncture beyond a summer weather problem for prices to recover.
Sell old crop corn and soybeans at your discretion, but probably sooner rather than later. However, Daryl Good is much more cautious as it relates to new crop sales.
Prices are low enough, I think, and certainly below the insurance price. I'd bide my time on new crop corn.
He'd do pretty much the same for soybeans.
Probably in the same category. You're seeing prices right down at the $9 level for harvest delivery. About what the USDA expects for the year ahead. Probably no urgency to get aggressive at these levels.
Again, that's sell old crop and stand to the sideline on the new crop. You may read Daryl Good's thoughts on the commodity markets each Monday afternoon on the Farm Doc Daily website. I'm Todd Gleason.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently announced $30 million available for food entrepreneurs and agriculture producers to develop new products through the Value-Added Producer Grant Program. Rural Business Cooperative Service Administrator Lillian Salerno explains.
Farmers and ranchers are those creative people who live out in rural America, and with just a little bit of help from us can put that creativity to work and make sure that they can add value to the rural communities by improving the bottom line of their operations.
The program has been available since 2009, and Salerno says more than $104 million has been awarded to 853 different grants. She says the 2014 Farm Bill increased opportunities for people by increasing the amount of funding available.
And also added some priorities to take advantage of this creative way to increase value in rural communities by making sure that military veterans and socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers got special priority in the new provisions granted in the Farm Bill.
Salerno provides an example of how people use the value-added producer grants.
Calderon Produce in North Carolina, they're a family-owned and operated business, and the Calderons came to the U.S. in 1985 and were migrant farm workers who sold produce out of the back of their box van, and through the years they saved their money, raised a family, and bought about 100 acres of land in Vail, North Carolina. And they were looking for a branding opportunity in which they could label their produce, and the Value-Added Producer Grant that we awarded helped them develop a marketing plan so that they could sell their tomatoes, peppers, and cucumbers as food safety certified, which helped them increase their market share.
To apply for these grants, you can visit rd.usda.gov. Paper applications are being accepted through July 7th, and electronic applications are being accepted through July 2nd. Just a reminder to farmers that the 2014 Farm Bill requires producers to file a highly erodible land conservation and wetland conservation certification form with their local USDA service center by June 1st in order to become or remain eligible for crop insurance premium support. Most farmers already have a certification form on file since it's required for participation in most USDA programs, such as marketing assistance loans, farm storage facility loans, and disaster assistance. However, farmers such as specialty crop growers who receive federal crop insurance premium support but may not participate in other USDA programs also must now file a certification form to maintain their crop insurance premium support. Again, producers should visit their local USDA service center and talk with their crop insurance agent before the June 1st deadline to ask questions, get additional information, or learn more about conservation compliance procedures. Producers that file their form by the deadline will be eligible for federal crop insurance premium support during the 2016 reinsurance year, which begins July 1st. USDA will publish a rule outlining the linkage of conservation compliance with federal crop insurance premium support. To view a copy of the rule, you can go to go.usa.gov. The Bee Informed Partnership released the results of its 2014-2015 honeybee colony loss survey. Although losses were down from last winter, USDA Bee Research Lab Director says total losses for the year increased 10 percentage points from the previous year. Jim Jones, Assistant Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency's Office of Chemical Safety and Pollution Prevention, explains some of the possible factors affecting honeybees and other pollinators.
Exposures to pests and pathogens, poor nutrition due to decreased availability of high-quality forage, exposure to pesticides, and bee biological genetics and breeding. Each play a role in impacting managed bee health and likely also impact the health of native pollinators.
Pollination services cost about twice as much as they did in 1994, and honey prices are at record levels, while production volume is about 18% lower than the same time last year, according to USDA chief economist Rob Johansson. In 1993, Johansson says the U.S. had 3 million honeybee colonies, producing an average of 73 pounds of honey per year. Last year, the U.S. had 2.7 million colonies, producing an average of 65 pounds of honey. USDA Bee Research Lab Director shares some of the areas they are studying to try and decrease pollinator loss.
Better nutrition, getting more plant diversity out there in the environment, whether it's your backyard or whether it's a farm community, make it a little more diverse, a little better for wildlife in general, and especially for pollinators. There's a couple of new pollinator initiatives relative to planting better flowers. So better nutrition, reducing pesticide use and pesticide exposure in honeybees, and then controlling these pests and parasites that they have, that the beekeepers have to work on controlling.
The White House Pollinator Health Initiative is working on a comprehensive strategy to help improve bee health. Be sure you tune in to WSMI AM 1540 today after the 9 o'clock news to hear a special feature on the challenges young farmers will have to deal with throughout their careers. An encore presentation will also be aired on Saturday during our regularly scheduled horse program in the morning during the 6 o'clock hour and again during the noon hour. Again, this special feature on challenges young farmers will be facing in the future will be airing for the first time tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on WSMI AM 1540. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.